God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Revelation 12. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment he was born. And she gave birth to a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. There was war in heaven. Dear friends in Christ, the battle between Christ and Satan for the souls of every person who has ever lived has been compared to a 10-round boxing match, of which the ascension of Christ is round 8. Let's take a look at that 10-round boxing match this morning. In round 1, the devil threw his first sucker punch. Although God had created all of the angels very good, and he wanted them, as well as all humanity, to live with him forever in paradise, nevertheless, Satan was not content to live under God in his kingdom, a sin we're often guilty of too. So the devil declared war on God, a war on a God of love, and a war that he could not win. Isaiah 14 describes the beginning of the battle with these words, "Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star." But in the Latin it says, "O Lucifer." "For you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, and I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, and I will make myself like the Most High God." The devil's sin was the sin of pride and wanting to be God himself. "I will make myself like the Most High God." He demanded what belonged rightfully to the Father and to his Son Jesus and to the Holy Spirit, to ascend to the highest place in heaven and sit enthroned over all. Round 1 ended with the devil receiving his first crushing blow. Isaiah 14 says, "Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, you have been cast down to the earth." The devil and his demons lost their place in God's royal court and were cast down. 2 Peter 2 puts it like this, "For God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them down, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment." And as the Lord casts Satan out of his royal court in heaven, the Lord wins round 1. Round 2 took place in the Garden of Eden. Since Satan could not defeat God by direct attack, he tried to conquer Adam and Eve and all humanity with the same crime that he tried. The serpent said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat any fruit of any tree in the garden? Don't believe it. You will not die, but you will be like God yourself, knowing good and evil." So the woman took some and ate it, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. No matter how much you and I may think we can be our own little gods, we can't. We will either live happily ever after under the God who loves us and saves us, or we'll try to play God to our own damnation. As God warned Adam and Eve, they died that day. You may say, no, they didn't. The Bible says they lived for many years. Well, the correct answer is they didn't die physically that day. That's true. But they died spiritually that day and began to die physically that day. They did die that day spiritually as they were cast away from God's presence and out of the garden. Now on the surface, it appears that Satan has won round 2, for he accomplished the destruction of God's very good creation. But upon closer inspection, we see that Satan lost round 2 also, for immediately Jesus says to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you." And then in Genesis 3:15, we hear the first promise of our Savior Jesus, who will conquer Satan, where it says, "The seed of the woman," which is a reference to Jesus, "will crush your head, Satan, and you will bruise his heel." Satan's defeat is now in God's hands, and it's only a matter of time. Jesus crushed the devil when he had his heels nailed to the Calvary's cross, which is the only way you kill a serpent, you crush its head. Round three refers to the rest of the Old Testament. Although Satan and the demons had lost their place in God's royal court in heaven, and although God had promised that the devil would be crushed by Christ, nevertheless, the devil was still permitted to enter into God's heavenly court and accuse God's people and all people of their sins. We hear of this several places in Scripture. Probably the most notable one is Job 1, which says, "And the angels came and presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan came with them." Now, Satan means accuser. "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' Satan answered, 'From roaming to and fro in the earth.' And then Satan said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge around him? But strike down everything he has, and he will curse you to your face.'" Now, let's be very clear on this. Apart from Christ's forgiveness and righteousness, the devil's accusations are entirely correct. In our sin, we are just as guilty as the devil. And apart from Christ, we no more deserve heaven than the devil does. So who wins round three? Again, it's our Lord. How can you say that, Pastor? For even during the Old Testament, when the devil was still able to accuse God's people and all people before God in heaven, God was totally in control. Satan had to, for example, ask for permission from God to afflict Job as he tried to turn him away from God. Satan couldn't lay a finger on Job without God's permission. God says to Satan, "Everything Job has is in your hands, but on the man himself, you may not lay a finger." Again, God won round three, for even in the midst of the devil's accusations, this is a battle with a certain outcome. The devil's rantings and ravings are all within the context that he's under God's control, or he's under God's thumb, waiting to be crushed by the seed of the woman who is coming, Jesus Christ. Round four refers to the incarnation and birth of Jesus. The devil heard loud and clear, "The seed of the woman will crush your head." He knew exactly why Christ was coming, so the devil tried to kill the Christ child as soon as it was born. Revelation 12 says the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment he was born. We see the devil trying again to kill Jesus when he was 2 years old in Matthew 2, which says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is searching for the child to kill him.'" Round four also goes to our Lord. For from the beginning, neither the devil nor Herod's baby killers can touch baby Jesus until it's time for Christ to actually go to the cross. And even in the death of Jesus on the cross, that is actually our victory and their defeat. He will only be killed when and where he permits himself to be killed, and when he does, it's for our forgiveness. Round four goes to God, for our Savior Jesus safely arrived. The devil couldn't prevent our Savior's coming. 1 John 3 says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And Hebrews 2 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he, Jesus, shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who held the power of death, that is, the devil. Round 5 refers to Jesus' earthly life and ministry. Throughout his life, Jesus literally manhandled Satan and delivered one blow after another to Satan and the demons. Satan tempted Jesus 3 times right at the beginning of his ministry, knowing that if he could get Christ to sin, then he could no longer be our Savior. Nevertheless, Jesus conquered the devil with the word of God every time until the devil left him. That's how we defeat the devil too. Nevertheless, Jesus conquers the devil with the word of God. Throughout his ministry, he tells the demons to shut up, and they do. He orders the demons out of the demon-possessed, and they leave. They have no choice. This is an all-out rout. The demons even say in Mark 1, "What do you want with us, Jesus? Have you come at this time to destroy us?" When we look at the world, we often think Christ is losing and the devil is winning. How interesting it is to hear the demons tell us the truth. Have you come at this time to destroy us? Yet Jesus cast out those spirits, and then he tells us in Matthew 12, "If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then you will know that the kingdom of God has arrived." Round 5 goes to Jesus. Round 6 refers to Jesus' suffering and death. On the surface, it appears as if Satan has finally landed a fatal blow and has won. The death blow has been issued. O sorrow, dread, God's Son is dead. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, and if Jesus stays dead, here's what it means. Our preaching is useless, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins, and the dead are lost. It's only because we live on this side of the resurrection that we know that Christ is victorious. Yes, it is true that the Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all. Yes, it is true that the cross became a lightning rod. And yes, it is true that God, Jesus Christ, was put to death and indeed died on Good Friday for our forgiveness. Yes, it's true that the Father abandoned his Son, Jesus, to death and hell. But this was all part of the plan. The battle was never about Christ saving his life. It was about Christ losing his life to save your life and to nullify every sin that the devil accuses you of. Revelation 12 says, "We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb." Hebrews 2, "By his death, Jesus destroyed him who held the power of death over us," that is the devil. So round 6 also goes to Jesus. Round 7 refers to Christ's resurrection. 1 Peter 3 says, "Jesus was made alive again by the Spirit, through whom he went and preached to the spirits in prison." Sometime on Easter morning, after Christ rose, he descended into hell, not to suffer it. He had already paid for it all on Good Friday. That's why he said it's finished. On Easter morning, he descends to hell to proclaim his victory over those in hell. Having done so, he then appears alive for 40 days, and the Bible says he gave many convincing proofs that he was risen from the dead. Not only could death not hold Jesus, but the devil couldn't keep a good man down. Yes, Jesus got crucified, and his heels were bruised, but on Easter morning, what rang out loud and clear was the fact that it was the devil that got nailed and the serpent's head that got crushed. Which leads us to round 8. The ascension of Jesus, which is what we celebrate today, and his being seated at the right hand of God. Revelation 12 says, "He, Jesus, was snatched up to God and to his throne." Romans 8 is all about Jesus' victorious ascension. Psalm 47 says, "God has ascended amid shouts of joy. The Lord amidst the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, and he is seated on his holy throne." The significance of Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension are recorded in Revelation 12, which says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but they were not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. And the great dragon was hurled down to the earth, that ancient serpent who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him." At Christ's ascension, God said to the devil, "Get out of my sight. I've heard enough of you. I've heard enough of your lies. I've heard enough of your accusations." Hebrews 9 says that Jesus entered the most holy place, not with the blood of bulls and the blood of goats, but with his own precious blood, and there to appear before God on our behalf and to intercede for us continually. Although the devil will still lie to you and try to get you to believe that you're still guilty before God, you're not. Yes, we are guilty, but we're not guilty before God anymore because we're forgiven. Already 2,000 years ago, upon Christ's ascension, John heard a loud voice in heaven say, This was already 2,000 years ago when Jesus ascended to heaven. Now have come the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them day and night before our God, has been hurled down, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Round 8 has been won by God and by Jesus Christ. His ascension calls for rejoicing and celebrating. Actually, a celebration that will never end has already begun. The accuser has been forever silenced by the perfect righteousness of Christ and by the shed blood that forgives us, by which there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You and I now find ourselves living in round 9, which refers to the last days or the church age. Between Christ's first coming and his death, resurrection, and ascension, and his final coming for judgment. Although Satan is defeated by Christ's death and resurrection, by his righteousness and forgiving blood, and he can no longer accuse us before God and make his charges stick, nevertheless, he still has one more weapon. Luther says the devil can no longer truly harm us. So long as we cling to Christ, he's defeated. He's but a mad dog on a chain. The only way that the devil can still harm you is by leading you to believe that he's a friendly puppy, lying to you. He won't appear as a vicious dog, but as a playful, harmless, attractive puppy. Now that he is chained, he can only harm you if you listen to his lies and turn from Christ to go and play with him. And how often do you and I go and play with the devil? I'll tell you how often. Every time you sin. Underneath his facade, Revelation 12 says he is filled with fury because he knows his time is short, and he has gone off to make war against those who hold to the testimony of Jesus. The fact that he's gone off to make war against God's children is bad news for us, but the fact that he knows his time is short is good news for us. He only has a limited time before our Savior Jesus arrives again for judgment and tosses him into hell once and for all. We will live all eternity without the devil. In the meantime, he can harm us none so long as we're clothed in the armor of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, and so long as we use Christ and his righteousness, his cross, his death, his resurrection, and his forgiving blood against the devil. So round 9 has also been won by Christ and by all who are in Christ as they cling to Christ. And it is a time by which the grace of God, Satan has already begun his retreat into hell. Which leads us to round 10. Round 10 refers to Christ's second coming for judgment. It's a day in which we already know who wins and who loses. The story's already been written. Revelation 20 describes the devil's future when it says, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur to be tormented day and night forever and ever." In closing, while it's true that we are still living in round 10, the last days, in which the Bible speaks of the devil as a roaring lion prowling around seeking whom he may devour, nevertheless, there's another and greater and stronger, more victorious lion in the Bible. This one is indeed the Lion King. The Bible calls him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Over the 2,000 years ago, this Lion King, Jesus Christ, ascended victoriously into heaven, and he was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he rules over all things for us and our salvation. And 2,000 years ago, all of heaven already began the celebration that will last for all eternity and resounded with the words of Revelation 5. "Do not weep, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed." And all of heaven sang a new song to him, saying, "You are worthy, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased people for God. Amen and amen."